faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Greek first, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We're talking about some things in Romans, and we're talking about the gospel and the power of the gospel and how it is revealed from generation to generation and from faith to faith, like the faith of Abel to the faith of Enoch to the faith of Noah to the faith of Abraham to the faith of Isaac to the faith of Jacob and so forth and so on. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, exposed, you can see it in operation, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you go down through the ages and look at the life of all those who were justified before God, Abraham, Abel, Moses, they were all justified by faith. And you get to see the revealed work of God's Spirit in their individual lives as their faith is manifested in God, and they proceed through life and live a life by faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The good news of a coming Messiah. What is the gospel of Christ? And what is revealed therein? And how does that all relate to from faith to faith? Well, the gospel of Christ is the good news of a coming Messiah. Now, that was the first part of the gospel. Whether when he was first promised, there's the first gospel. There's the first evidence of faith that we were to have in that good news. So when you talk of the gospel of Christ being revealed from faith to faith, it says therein. Then you're talking about the revelation of Christ being revealed in the hearts and lives of people down through the ages. Genesis 3:15. The good news of a coming Messiah, whether he was first promised, this is the first thing, and you'll see a reason for that whether in a moment. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil and Satan, and between thy seed, the offspring of Satan, and her seed. Her seed was to be the promised Messiah who was to come. This is the good news of a coming Messiah, the first time it was ever revealed, and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. It meant that the coming seed, the Messiah, the promised one, would completely crush and destroy the power of the serpent, which has the power in its head to bite and to kill and to destroy. But it also indicated that this Messiah, this seed, this future descendant that would come eventually through Mary of Nazareth, and thou shalt bruise his heel, indicating a plural, his heel, and indicating that Christ would pay a terrible price in doing it. So, really, the just shall live from faith to faith. And as you watch the faith in each one of these people's lives down through the years, all of them, therein is the good righteousness of God revealed in their lives from faith to faith, and all of them lived by faith. Whether the good news of a coming Messiah, whether when he was first promised, Genesis 3:15, see how we go down through the ages, or when he first came in Bethlehem, Luke 21:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So in the time of his actual arrival, we saw the faith of those who trusted in him, the faith of Simeon, the old man on the Temple Mount, who was promised he would live until he saw the Messiah. We saw it in Anna on the Temple Mount. We saw it in Mary. We saw it in the first New Testament church. And so once he arrived and trained this church, we saw the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from time to time, from generation to generation, and we saw all of them in every age, right down to now, living by faith. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. So it's the good news revealed of a coming Messiah, whether when he was first promised in the Garden of Eden, or when he came in Bethlehem, Luke 2:1, or when he comes again to rule in Matthew 24:30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is when he is revealed again, and in the gospel is revealed this promise, and all of us in today's society are living by faith, and it's been revealed ever since Abel was killed by Cain at the altar. The promise was made, and down through the ages, from faith to faith, you can see God's righteousness revealed in the lives of these men and women who trusted in him and not in themselves. So when you talk about the gospel of Christ and the revealing of the righteousness from faith to faith, you're talking about a transference down through the ages and a visible evidence in the lives of each one of these men and women. Now, the good news of a coming Messiah, whether when he was first promised, or when he came in Bethlehem, or when he comes again to rule, has always been presented to men from Adam down through the ages, from faith to faith. It has always been a message of justification by faith in the promised one of God's word. With that in mind, let's examine the just shall live by faith in its two parts. It has two parts. Notice, the just, that's the first part, and secondly, shall live by faith. Now, when it says the just, it means this individual, male or female, has already been fully justified. They've been justified by grace through faith. They have had the account of Jesus' righteousness put to their charge. They are accounted righteousness. It's been imputed to them by faith. They've been saved. So they're already justified fully. And people who have been justified by grace through faith shall live by faith because they were born again, saved by faith, and they continue to live by that faith in Christ. And it isn't something that vanishes and disappears and comes and goes. Let's look at the two parts. First of all, the just shall live by faith. Let's look at the first part, the just, the just. Who are the just? Those who are justified. And who are those who are justified? Romans 3, 26 through 28, answering the question, who are the just? They're those who are justified. So who are they? Romans 3, 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The just is a person, male or female, who believes he is justified by his belief in Jesus and by his trust and faith in Jesus' ability to impute to him his righteousness and as his only hope or her only hope of going to heaven. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So who are the just? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Someone who's justified before God is a man who has all his faith and trust, or a woman that has all her faith and trust in Jesus Christ and realizes that the works of the flesh under any system of rules cannot satisfy God until they are justified by faith in his Son, being justified freely by his grace. Justification has to be by grace. It has to be by trusting in his unmerited favor, and that redemption has to be in a single solitary person being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we began to talk about living by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are justified by faith. So when you say, the just shall live by faith, just talking about the just, therefore being justified by faith. You can't live by faith until you're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5, 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about hell, the condemnation of God, ever being separated from the love of God. And that's a fact. Much more then, Romans 5, 9, being now justified, these are the just. Those are those who are saved, who have Christ and are justified. Being now, right now, justified by his blood, we shall be saved by wrath, from wrath through him, only through him. So when you talk about the just, who are the just? They are the ones who have already been justified. Luke 18, 10 through 14 and verse 17 makes it very plain who the just are and what justifies them. Luke 18, 10 through 14 and then verse 17. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. You've heard this story many, many times. You've heard it preached many, many times. And you understand what it means. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. His prayer didn't go any further than his lips. And God didn't listen to it because, or react to it, because he might as well have stood there and been talking to himself while he was working. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This was a man who was trying to please God in the flesh. He was trying to satisfy God and his own conscience by his own works. It won't work. He's not the just. He can't live by faith because he doesn't have any faith. He has faith in himself, which isn't faith at all. A saving faith has to be in the power of God in Christ. Can't be anywhere else. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think every one of you sitting here can understand that. And I think as you've gone through life and you've watched yourself have the same attitudes and commit the same mental sins, and you realize that you shouldn't, I think inside you've said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's an attitude that justifies us, because that attitude leaves you totally at the mercy of God. This poor old publican, man, he didn't fast twice in a week. He didn't give tithes of all he possessed. He did do a lot of things, and he knew it, and he admitted it, and he was ashamed of it, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I tell you what. He was trusting in the same God that Abel trusted in before Cain killed him in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was trusting in the same mercy of God that was to come in a Savior, a Messiah. He was trusting in the promises of God, and that was the only justification this man had. I want you to notice what he said. The Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. A humble person has no confidence in himself to please God. His total realization is that only by reacting to the Christ who indwells him can he ever please God. And even then, at times when his flesh overrules, he feels guilty about it, and he still cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He does not have a high opinion of himself or his ability to carry out the rules of God. He has confidence that Jesus himself was the only one who could, and he just has a simple childlike faith in Jesus. Verily I say unto you, verse 17, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. I know you get tired of hearing this, but it's a principle. It's an important principle. I was saved 52 years ago. I am just as dependent, like a small, helpless, frightened child, upon God to keep me by his power in Christ, and by Christ to resurrect me and to change me at the rapture and to carry me into the presence of God. I have no hope, no faith in anything else other than Jesus. It's a very small faith. It's like a small child who trusts in God's mercy, who trusts in God's love, who trusts in God's grace. I'm justified. But it was Jesus who justified me. And it was Jesus who fulfilled the role that I could not fulfill. And it was Jesus who kept the law for me. It was Jesus who bore my sins in his body on the tree. It was Jesus who walked the walk for me. It was Jesus who died for me. And it was Jesus who was resurrected for my justification. And I'm just a small, frightened, helpless, 64-year-old human being who, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, after all these wonderful theological things that God has allowed me to understand, I'm still a frightened, helpless, 64-year-old child who trusts in God, who trusts in Christ alone. That's the publican. If you ever lose sight of the publican, and you ever think yourself anything more than a publican, you've gone too far. When you're looking at your own self and realizing how grateful and merciful God has been to you, it's a lot easier to forgive other people and to overlook their faults, because God has been merciful to all of us to a great degree. Now let's take a look at shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This publican lived by faith. All the people who've been justified, Abraham, Isaac, Noah, Moses, Enoch, Abel, down through history, they have all lived by faith, because that was what justified them, and it was the way they operated. You have to live by faith. After the business meeting the other night, one of the church members came back, and I took it well, but the church member said, Brother Michael Murray, you need to have more faith. And I'm going to tell you something. God forgive me, but you don't know how much money I put into this church. And the truth of the matter is, if I didn't have a lot of faith, I wouldn't do that. Now, we all need faith, but I think some people don't understand what faith is. Faith is investing everything you've got in the cause and purpose of Christ. It isn't going out on a limb and taking chances. It isn't living by the seat of your britches. It's putting your money and your life and your heart and your work and your profession into God's work. That's living by faith. It isn't living dangerously. It's living wisely and asking God to give you wisdom. It isn't trying to turn the church into a business. It's trying to live by faith. And some of the people sometimes who make accusations that you don't know how to live by faith never have learned to live by faith themselves. Shall live by faith. Who are those who shall live? Those who have been justified by faith. The just. You can't live by faith unless you've been justified by faith. How long will they live? Forever. They live forever by faith. Notice what John said in John 5, 37 through 40. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He goes on to say, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know, it's an interesting thing here. We're talking about living by faith. You have to be justified to live by faith. Otherwise, you can't. And Jesus was addressing a group of men who were very religious. They were very righteous. They went to church all the time or synagogue. They tried to do what God wanted according to what they thought the scriptures said. But Jesus said, ye have neither heard his voice at any time. And Jesus said, and ye have not his word abiding in you. Unless the word of God is abiding in you, how can you live by faith, which comes from the word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. All these men had to do was to come to him. That way, when they heard his voice, and if they heard his voice, this was the result. They came to him, they trusted in him as Messiah to deliver them from what they were, sinners, and he gave them his life, and he lived his life by faith. And you've got to have Christ in you to live by faith, because it's Christ who lives his life over again in you by faith. And I know you get tired of hearing Galatians 2:20, but it's a principle. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Christ lives his life over again in you. And it's got to be Christ that's living in you to forgive those people. And you more or less go along for the ride and submit to Christ, even though you don't want to, and the flesh wants to jump out and bite and hurt and destroy. You go ahead and submit to Christ, and you trust him to take care of the problem. And because you have faith in him, he does, and your faith increases. John 10, 16, 25 through 28. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The New Testament churches spread to the Gentiles. They've spread all over this earth. I'm standing here tonight in front of a New Testament church, and he is our shepherd. He is the shepherd of this local flock. He is the shepherd of all the flocks that make up the local New Testament churches. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Somebody that's trying to please God by going to church, by being baptized, by working in the church, by doing good, and people in the community say, well, if anybody makes it, surely she will, or if anybody makes it, surely he will, and they're just trying to justify themselves before God just as hard as they can. If they have never trusted Jesus for their salvation, if they've never realized that we're all publicans, and the only faith that God will accept from us is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. unless they've come to him as a frightened, helpless child, realizing they have no hope except to trust in Jesus. How can they live by faith as sheep following a master when they do not have the faith of the Son of God who lives in them being manifested outwardly in their lives? It's impossible. My sheep hear my voice. His sheep hear his voice. They have his word abiding in them. Therefore, they can live by faith. And down through the ages, why did Abraham live by faith? Because he was justified by faith. And as a just man, he followed the teachings of Christ. Why did Moses? For the same reason. Why did Paul? Why do you? Why do I? For the same reason. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The just are those to whom he gives his life by faith. And they shall live forever. The type of life continuing that the just receive by the faith that justified them is what is emphasized in this verse. So how has all this helped me from faith to faith? You know, when I get discouraged sometimes, I think of Abraham. I really do. And I think of how he was faithful in a whole lot more adverse circumstances than I ever faced. When I get discouraged sometimes, I think of Joseph, and I think how he was faithful. And he lived his life by faith because he was justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. And then most of all, when I really get depressed and when things don't really go right, and I do get depressed, there's no sense in me lying to you. I do get it. I'm a human being. I have flesh. There's no sense in me acting like a braggadocio. Sometimes I get very discouraged. If I'm really discouraged, I always turn to Paul. And I say to myself, Paul, you rascal, you've got to see heaven. I almost wish I could. But Paul was faithful. And Paul went through things that we cannot even imagine. And he told us about them, not because he wanted to brag about it. And God forgive me, I'm a bragging person. But Paul wanted us to know and see what he went through. So that when we got depressed and we felt sorry for ourselves, we'd perk up and say, God forgive me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. If the Lord had kept count, and I'm sure he knows the count, of how many times in my life, even last night, and virtually every night when I'm praying, I say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's just a natural thing that comes out from my soul, because when I get to feeling sorry for myself and thinking, poor little old me, I think about those men who died for the faith. And it's revealed from faith to faith. And if God had not revealed to me what happened in the lives of those men because of his good news. See, it's always been good news. That's why Cain murdered Abel. It's always been good news. And men don't want to accept it. But when I see the way the Lord worked in Abel's life, and I see the way the Lord worked in Noah's life, and in Enoch's life, and in Abraham's life, that gives me courage. And I'll tell you what else gives me courage. It's not just in history. When I see the way the Lord's worked in your life. You've got a story, Lisa. I've watched you, and I've watched Danny, and I've watched Bertha Lee, and I watched John, and I watched you, Geraldine. I laugh and joke all the time, but I'm thankful and proud to know you because I've seen faith in your life, and I've seen it operate in Sister Barnes. You don't have to go back in history to see the gospel revealed. One of the encouragements that we have is when we see one another. And when I see it working in Ruby's life and Jack's life and Alan's life, and I see God's faith to faith, it gives me encouragement. And it ought to give each one of us encouragement. So it's not just a historical thing. God's been doing this for a long, long time. And you stop and think about all the different people that have gone through so much more than we have. We ought to get down on our knees and thank God we don't have to go through that. And sometimes I feel like such a little, small, imbecilic nut. When I get depressed and I lay there and I'm talking to God about it, and all of a sudden in the midst of it I realize, good grief, you little insignificant twerp. Here you are feeling like you've been put down. And my goodness gracious, you look at these men in history that really did live by faith. It makes you feel ashamed. So you ask God to forgive you, you pick yourself up and you go on until the next time you get depressed. Some people think that in God's service, you reach finally a point where, oh, it's just wonderful. No, It's a continual up and down. And eventually there's a level plain, but even that has some bumps in it. But the more you learn about God's Word, the less you notice the bumps. And the bumps aren't as big as you thought they were. They weren't mountains and valleys. They were just little stones you tripped over. Paul went through some mountains and valleys. Paul went through some tough times. So think about these things as we're revealed from faith to faith. And it's 8 o'clock, and it's about time to go home. So we won't have an invitation tonight. And if you want to repent and renew your life, well, you can just do it tonight as you pray and talk to the Lord about it. This is a quiet church. And I love this church. You're a quiet bunch. You don't amen much. And so help me, the only reason I amen is because some of these fellows come here. Somebody's got to encourage them. And I try to listen to something and say amen. So don't get down on me because I amen some. Somebody's got to say amen once in a while here. But the one thing I won't do is when a preacher says something and looks out at me and says amen, I'm not going to amen that. Because if you got to ask for an amen, you don't deserve one in the first place. Sister Barnes, you feel up.